Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
What's going on, everybody? Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, Tyler Zuli, hanging out and producing. And a true gift that we have. It's something that, if it didn't happen, what was it, last week? I wouldn't have remembered what it felt like to hang out with my brother, Devon Gibbons, who's joining us for the entire 4 hours here.
Hey.
Devon, how we doing, man?
What's happening, man? How you doing?
Doing great. Everything's awesome.
Doing all right.
Yeah, we're hanging in there.
Yeah, good
trying to
see
do what
you.
We can.
Yeah, what was that, 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah, I think it was 2 weeks ago.
But
here's the thing.
NFL draft.
As you know, though, like, I was trying to explain to my daughter what a calendar is today. Like, she saw it on the side of the fridge. She's like, Daddy, what is that? And I'm like, it's a calendar.
Yes.
And you know, it tells you what's going on. And she looked at it and she said, how? And I said, this is a bad example because it's the corona and there's nothing going
right,
on
right.
ever. So, like, last week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whenever that was,
yes.
You know, the time is different here with the vid, as we call it in the Torti house. But it's good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
We got a lot today. Obviously, we've got the NFL schedule release coming out at 8 o'clock. Inevitably, that means that we'll be trying to find the good spots and the bad spots. We found that stretch like three quarters of the way through last season. We identified that really early as kind of like a season-breaking stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, at that point, the Eagles were like at, 5-7 or something like that at that point, and that's where they really needed to turn it around, and they did, to make the playoffs. So all kinds of good stuff going on there. We'll take a look at that. And there's been a ton of stuff as well with the reopening plans, proposals, and all that other kind of stuff. Plus, some good old-fashioned hate. Tyler Zuli, before the show, found the most hated of every Major League Baseball team's fan base on MLB.com. So I thought we'd have a little bit of fun with that as well. But
look forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. The first thing, D, that I haven't even gotten to talk to you much about since we worked together on the draft was the Eagles draft and off-season mentality overall, their approach, what they've done. There's kind of been a lot of discussion now about whether it was a good idea, bad idea, especially with Jalen Hurts in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you've had some time to percolate on it, I know that you've been talking to the people about it, but where do you come down on what Howie Roseman and the Eagles have done so far?
I still look at it as if it really didn't change much when we start to get ready for the schedule release at 8 p.m. tonight, mm-hmm. and how we look at the schedule and look at the teams they're going to play and how this team is going to fare against those squads. Not much has changed since what I thought they did positively in free agency on the defensive side of the ball. And while they did address offense in the draft like we thought they should, mm-hmm. after a heavy focus on defense in free agency, I don't know how much it changed how I felt. Maybe a little bit because they did address speed. They did do those things with, of course, Rager in the first round and then Hightower and Watkins later on, but we don't know what the impact of Hightower and Watkins will be at all, if at all,
right.
if they even make the team or not, especially with possibly no training camp and the OTAs, and yes, they're having their virtual OTAs or meetings with the coach and Doug Peterson and all, but it didn't do much for me. Disappointing with how everything turned out because of your top two picks and how impactful you are normally looking at the draft, where you say you have to hit on 1 and 2 and maybe even
usually three, yeah.
Right, to really have something to look forward to going into your regular season. And yes, the team is good. They're still going to compete for the NFC East crown, but Dallas got better. Washington got better. Washington got better when they got rid of their coach and brought in Ron Rivera.
Right.
New York got better. Now, significantly better? Maybe not. But the Eagles did win the division last year. They kind of got lucky by doing that with Dallas getting off to their hot start, fading, Eagles picking up that steam again and doing mm-hmm. what they did at the end, especially with all the injuries that they had. Now the gap may have closed a little bit in the NFC East. So while I still like the team, of course, headlined by Carson Wentz, I'm really on Carson Wentz's side now, if you didn't think so before, with all the nonsense that they did with Jalen Hurts, who, again, I like. just not at 53. Let's
right.
make sure
I
we
gotcha.
Put that out there. But I still look at them as a team that's going to contend for the NFC East, but it's not about the NFC East anymore.
Not supposed
Doug
to
Peterson
be.
Peterson told us after the Super Bowl, this is the new norm. When he said the new norm, he was at the parade. He was talking about that. This team, I do not think, will bring the city of Philadelphia that based on everything that the team has going for them right now. There are still questions about DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey. What you're going to get from J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. As much as we all like Greg Ward, we're still talking about, with all due respect, Greg Ward. Let's see what Rager does and Watkins again and Hightower and see what they do. But in the long run, man, they're still going to be a good team that contends, but not enough. Not enough. Mm-hmm. They did not give me enough in the draft for me to say, oh, man. Yeah, we're talking 12 wins this year and winning this division.
Well, and here's the thing. People get draft grades wrong all the time about like who's going to be good, who nailed it, who didn't, or whatever, right? But I think that you hit on something that kind of cuts right to the core of where I feel like the Eagles are, and it starts in free agency, right? Like, I like the Hargrave signing. I like the trade for Darius Slay. My question is, are those moves going to make a big enough noticeable impact? I hope so.
Sure.
But I'm not sure, right? Relative to just, let's look at the Giants, who might have had the worst draft of any of the NFC East opponents, which is saying something because the Giants actually had a really good draft. I think that Washington and Dallas both kind of crushed their drafts, to be completely honest
yep.
with you. So you look at the Giants, if you don't have a left tackle or a right tackle, that is way more noticeable than if you don't have an impact defensive tackle. Or if people are going to just start throwing away from Darius Slay and throwing at whoever's on the other side. You know what I mean? Like,
pick one.
Right? I'm worried about that kind of stuff relative to the Giants having a gaping hole that is noticeable on a snap-by-snap basis, helped out by Andrew Thomas there, right? Washington. You know that I thought that team was kind of on the come up for a while here now, getting the best player in the draft to go on a really stacked front seven.
Yep.
It seems like that's going to be the way that they build their team. Dallas, I had a ton of questions about. Byron Jones walks out the door and a bunch of other different kind of positions were in upheaval. They got replacements for everybody who left. They've got reinforced weapons with CeeDee Lamb. Like, I think that the other teams in the division are getting better more quickly than the Eagles are getting better.
Absolutely.
I think that speaks to the gap closing a little bit like you were talking
about. Yeah, and that's the problem. So that's how I look at it after evaluating it now that we're 2 weeks removed from the draft, starting actually tonight when we were together in round number one with the Jalen Rager pick. And here we are right now where we're talking about Rager still. We're talking about Hurts even more because of the questions that you... When we were talking about and getting ready for rounds one and two, it was basically, again, about being secure with what they did and accepting what they did at 21 and 53, saying, all right, I understand why they went with this wide receiver, and I do understand why they went with Rager with the speed.
Right.
You just question, well, maybe you could have got him at 25, 26, 27, somewhere around mm-hmm. there, picked up that extra second or third, and then you go to work from there, and you understand it. You understand that they need a backup quarterback, once again, where we're recycling the same thing here, where I'm saying, I like the player. You just don't do it at 53. So while we get ready for it and you go into it and we were having great conversation. Oh, look how this is falling perfectly.
It's beautiful.
For the birds. Even if you want to move up, you don't have to move up to 13 anymore. You can just go to 16 and get that wide receiver that you wanted. And we know what happened. So I think, as you pointed out, the grading system of a draft and all of that because of the frustration where we may not have liked how right. they handled things. And maybe we're wrong. Maybe we're overreacting to it because we did not like what they did, where they have their board. They understand their
right.
team better. They know what they are doing. But our job is as fans, and then our job here from 6 to 10 is to talk about what we liked and did not like. And that's exactly what we have done, like many others have. And I hope I'm wrong.
Right.
I hope you're wrong. I hope Tyler is wrong with the Rager and even the Hurts thing at some point. But once again, I stand behind who Carson Wentz is. I think the defense has improved. I like the fact that you did add speed, which they needed, and I just hope that you can get something from Arthega Whiteside.
Sure.
You don't have a sophomore slump from Miles Sanders, those types of things.
Well, and when you look at a team's draft strategy, Devon, like when I look at it, I kind of split it up into two parts. It's like, are they doing what they should be doing according to their plan? And then the other part is, do I like the plan and do I like the player? You know, right. So that's kind of what you were talking about, too. I get, like, with the Rager pick, the first half of that passes the test. It's like, they didn't have any speed at wide receiver. They wanted to get a speed wide receiver.
I get it.
I understand why you did it.
I like the other guy in Jefferson.
Right.
But I get it.
I understand
Let's
why
see
you
what
did
happens.
That. Right.
Right.
But so, like, a perfect example of this, you know this. In the second round, instead of Jalen Hurts, would have been Denzel Mims.
Mm.
Really don't like that player. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that that player is going to be a guy who would have helped out the Eagles. But according to the plan, it makes way more sense than taking the backup
more
quarterback
speed,
at 50.
Size
yeah,
at the
right,
wide receiver
exactly.
position.
I'm like,
right.
okay, I understand right. why you did that, even if I don't like the particular player. It's almost the reverse with Jalen Hurts. It's like, this is a guy that I like.
But not here.
Why are you taking him at 53?
And then not here. Not meaning Philadelphia. The spot.
Right. The spot. Yes. And then people say, well, he would have gone in the late 50s.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
All right.
That means that somebody liked him. But like the only way that it makes sense, and I don't know if you've gotten into this. I apologize if I missed it. If you've gotten into this on your show. The only way that it makes sense is if they are wavering on being in love with Carson Wentz is the only way that it makes sense in the second round. Not saying that that's a good decision or a bad decision, but like either way, you're wrong then or now. Then by signing Carson Wentz to the contract, if that was a mistake, then okay, and you try to make a correction in the second round and move on. Or now, to have a guy be an insurance policy in the second round just seems kind of irresponsible.
Yeah,
so either way, it's one way or the other, you make a big mistake. So.
Yeah, and right now that's arguably the biggest story in the draft.
Yeah, I would say it is,
Between Hurts and Jordan Love with the Green Bay Packers mm-hmm. because of the same situation that Aaron Rodgers had to deal with years ago with Brett Favre, and now he's in the same spot. Let's see how he handles it, although I heard somewhere that he actually did reach out to Love, where Brett Favre did not do that
right.
to him. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, this is the biggest story of the draft. And it shapes all the good things that they did. Even when you did not like the fact that they didn't go after DeAndre Hopkins, right?
Yes.
They did nice things in free agency. And you say, okay,
cool.
You go into the draft, you can fix that problem maybe a little bit.
Right.
They did not.
So they drafted three wide receivers and traded for another. As far as I'm concerned, Marquise Goodwin is a total lottery ticket. Like, 100%. Like, first of all, you're telling me that he's a speed demon who's 29. I'm like, all right, that's already a red flag because I'm turning 31 and I feel awful. and then the fact that he's got all of these, like, chronic knee and ankle injuries and everything else. Like, so maybe you get something there. Maybe you get something from one of your later round guys. If you get something from both of them, that's amazing.
People Watkins. Seem to like Hightower.
People are big on Hightower, yeah. for sure. I've gotten less favorable reviews from people who have watched Watkins more than me. They said that I don't think that this guy's
speed.
Right, exactly. But people really do like Jalen Reagor a lot. Like it seems like the more that I hear from people who have interacted with him on a day-to-day basis, covered games, paid a lot more attention to TCU than me, more and more it seems like he's a guy who could be an impact maker at this level. So that's okay. Like, if you get that and it happens at 21 instead of at 26, you know, what's the difference? I get that you could have picked up another player, traded back. I think that'll be easier for us to swallow because you can track how that makes sense way more easily than the Jalen Hurts pick.
Yeah.
And the other thing we talked about too, Devon, Tyler and I got into this. Jordan Brooks going in the first round kind of screwed everything up, I think, because Davion Taylor's not a guy that I don't think the Eagles really want to take in the third round. When you've got a glaring hole at inside linebacker, you don't really want that guy to be your starter week one. So thank goodness they end up with Sean Bradley later on in the draft. I told Tyler, I think that Sean Bradley might make an earlier impact at linebacker, not necessarily special teams, than Taylor would.
Because he's played.
Because he's played it. Yeah, right. Exactly. And Temple's been a linebacker factory recently. So overall, the third day of the draft made a lot of sense. I don't know if it was enough to undo some of the like, that we saw from the first 2 days.
So as we talk about this and we get ready for the release of the schedule, how do you look at them right now when it comes to Washington and Dallas, New York, where they are, what they've done this offseason, and what the Eagles have also done? Mm-hmm. Where are you with this team?
What I would say, Devon, is that relative to when they walked off the field against Seattle, I feel better about this version of the team than that version of the team.
I agree with that.
But I don't feel as much better as I thought I would at this point in the offseason. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Like, I thought they would have done more.
Yeah. If you don't get the Hopkins thing done,
right,
but you wind up with CeeDee Lamb at 16 and you make some other decisions with the picks that you have later on, because if you get CeeDee Lamb, you're going to give up one of the other picks. So you have Lamb in the first and then third or you know, whatever it might be to move up to get CeeDee Lamb. You just make the right choices there and you say, okay, all right, I do feel significantly better than I did in January when we walked off the field.
Well, and because I'm not saying that the Eagles were this bad. They're not. Okay, but it's like you come home and you look at what's going on and the oven's on fire and the phone is off the hook and there's like a puddle of milk in the corner. It's like there's a lot of things that we need to do. One of these is definitely much more pressing and requires much more attention, right? I think it's cool what they did at corner. I really do. I think that it's cool what they did at defensive line. I think that getting two Auburn offensive linemen later in the draft, super cool. The oven being on fire is that your wide receiving core had Deontay Burnett and Robert Davis and like these guys playing meaningful playoff snaps for you. That's where I'm like, I wanted to see at least two receivers in the first four rounds.
Yep.
I get that you came out with wide receivers, and Hightower might be, for example, just a guy that you find late who's a gem who slipped through the cracks for no reason. But if you didn't nail all of those guys and you had the opportunity to take wide receivers earlier on or do more in free agency, which is more to my point, like the fact that they weren't in on Hopkins, which, okay, but Robbie Anderson, that they weren't in on Rashad Perryman, that they weren't in on DeMarcus Robinson, all these guys who have speed that would have taken the pressure off of you to nail every one of your wide receiver draft picks. That was one of the other things where I was left kind of scratching my head and thinking, well, this would have made life a whole lot easier, I think.
Well,
I don't know.
We'll see where they are, man.
And what about you? In the same boat?
Yeah, again, just a little disappointed after looking at free agency and thinking they did a nice job outside of the Hopkins and maybe even Diggs.
Yeah.
The price was too high, but being in the conversation and certainly the other players that you mentioned, the ones that are, you know, that lower tier that were available, I totally agree with you. I thought they would be something at the end of the draft, and they are not. They are not. They're still a good team. They still have an opportunity to win the division because they do have an advantage of returning the coaching staff and returning the quarterback and a lot of the people that they have on both offensive and defensive side, where all the changes now have happened with the Washington and Dallas and New York. And the Eagles do have that leg up when it comes to the familiarity of their system with everybody still there.
Right.
But I don't know that that is enough for them to overall come away with the East.
And to your point, the other three teams getting new coaches, if coaches are getting replaced, that usually means coaches were weaknesses of the team, you know, to begin with. So who knows how much better those other teams get by adding those coaches. 610-632-0975. Also wanted to get to this because Major League Baseball and MLB.com, Tyler found this ahead of time. Each team's favorite nemesis was the article called Boo This Man.
Boo This Man.
So it listed every team and what their nemesis was infamous for. Like, for example, the Mariners, Alex Rodriguez is easy. You know, joining the rival Rangers for $252 million probably gets you on a lot of people's lists, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The Rangers have the Bautista bat flip, you know?
Like, right.
So in the NL East, there's a fascinating one for the Phillies that I nailed right away. J.D. Drew. Hasn't played baseball since 2011 and is still the nemesis.
You were definitely on it.
I was on it for not signing with the Phillies after the 97 draft.
Yeah.
Is that worthwhile? Like, is that okay for us to still
accurate.
Be mad?
That's accurate.
It totally is.
That's
I
accurate.
Know.
Yeah, man had batteries thrown at him and all kinds of stuff.
yes, he did.
Were you on the same side as everyone else with the J.D. Drew dislike?
Yes.
Yeah?
Of course I was. Look, as far as I'm concerned, you're well within your rights to do whatever is best for you, right? You want more money, you want special treatment, you want all this other kind of stuff. If I was going to take a job in a place that I really didn't want to be, there'd be a lot of things that I would have to make happen with that job in order for it to be worthwhile for me, okay? That's my prerogative. But the other people involved can take that however they want and respond however they want. So if you're one of the people, I'm not a big fan of throwing batteries.
No, not that far.
But if you're booing the guy and you're you know, hating J.D. Drew for not signing, good! You shouldn't be in love with a guy who doesn't want to be with you. Of course! Played 12 games at the Vet. And 21 games at Citizens Bank Park as an opponent was booed every single time.
Without question.
Of course he was.
Without question.
Were you on the J.D. Drew team or were you on the Phillies?
No, I was on the Phillies side. On the Philly fan side. I just wasn't as outraged as everyone else. You know, you look for that talent, and if he was going to be that next generational player and he's coming to Philadelphia, certainly you want him here. But to your point, he has a right to decide, and you're like, dang, man, they're never going to get it right. But they wound up getting it right in a different way.
Yes.
And I can see where that one is number one for a lot of people. Can I give a close second?
Of
baseball?
Course you can. Yeah.
And this guy I thought was right. Scott Rowland.
Yeah. We talked about Scott Rowland.
People
yes.
cannot stand Scott Rowland, and I was on his side.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what more do I need to do here?
No, I'm not taking this contract.
No.
Fill the team out.
And then, you know, he goes to baseball heaven in St. Louis.
He helped fill that team up.
Helped fill that team up.
And they win.
Too. How about that? 610-632-0975.
Boo this man. You know what movie that's from?
Mm.
Where you see that gif all the time and the
guy says, "Boo this man." Yeah.
Half Baked. Dave Chappelle.
Oh, man, I haven't seen Half Baked in a long
time. Classic.
Yeah, it is a classic. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Boo this man.
Yeah, I got to go back and check that out. Yeah, I deserve to be booed for not pulling that one.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
So we'll do the other three teams, and then we'll open it up to the people as well as we're heading into the schedule release. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Tyler Zuli is producing. Devon Givens and Joe Torti, we're hanging out until 10 o'clock. It's going to be a good time. So keep it locked right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back. Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe and Devon hanging out until 10. Tyler Zuli's here as well.
Yes.
And we'll hear from Tyler, too, because I'm sure that he's got some interesting sports hate. As we're ticking down to the NFL schedule release at 8 o'clock. And it is interesting, Devon, because we already know the home opponents and we already know the road opponents. And now we're just going to be learning about when the bye week falls and what order things happen in. And John Clayton, now the Eagles' first game has already been leaked. So if you're this locked into it, I don't feel bad with sharing that they're opening up against Washington. John Clayton had initially reported that the interconference stuff would be first. So it'd be like the Eagles playing four games against the AFC North. because those games are less consequential in terms of division races and stuff like that, in the event that there was a late start to the NFL season, mm-hmm. you could just chop those games off and it wouldn't impact things.
That makes sense. I also looked at it the other way, where it would kind of make sense with the unknown that you would at least stay close with the way things are right now.
Sure.
Going to New York, going to Washington, of course Dallas you have to get on the plane, but these other two,
right.
you're relatively easy to get there.
Well, plus, I mean, if you're being, you know, I believe in my heart of hearts that the NFL knows exactly what they're doing when it comes to schedule making, not just in terms of convenience for teams and when arenas are available. That's an amazing balancing act, too. But also who's good and who's not.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the information that you have, you probably think that it's Philadelphia and Dallas for the division anyway.
Yes, still.
So if you have two of those games you had to push back till late, you know, whether it's week 14, 15, whatever, that's cool. And you were trying to get the close games out of the way, Washington and New York would not be a bad way to go. So I do wonder if that's what the schedule is going to look like anyway.
And what's this one? Is it in Washington to start off or here in Philadelphia?
I did not see that.
He didn't say, they just said Washington.
Well,
that's all.
They might have said something else. I don't recall. Tyler, do you remember this?
I believe it is going to be in Washington.
In Washington?
Yes.
All right. Okay. All right.
How do you feel about that going to FedEx?
That's fine. It's always a good game.
Place is a dump.
Not worried, to be honest with you.
Yeah, J.P. Finley says that it is in Washington.
All right. Okay. Road trip. Well, maybe not.
Maybe not. Maybe a social distance trip.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
610-632-0975. I think that's a good place to start. I do wonder this, Devon. What impact do you think that things would have, that like sports starting without fans in the stands? Do you think that is something that is so weird that we would never get used to it? Or no. Do you think that if that was like true for a month or something like that, by the end of the month, we'd be like, oh, okay, it's just sports.
I do think it's weird.
Yeah.
But we will adjust.
I think so, too.
I think because the way a lot of people just listening to everyone on the station, just listening to Mike and Ty go back and forth when they were speaking about it and mm-hmm. Hearing what Natalie was saying in the what league was that this morning? That was it the Korean
League? Baseball League?
They had cardboard cutouts or something, she was saying. I didn't see it, so I don't know, but I think people are fiending so much to get back to watching sports, to have it take you away from all the realness of everything that's going on. And the simple entertainment that as much as you may not like it, you'll get used to it. Just like anything else, you will get used to it. How long will we have to get used to it for? We have no idea, but we do. We all assume that that's what it's going to look like at the very beginning once they get back on the field, ice court, whatever it might be.
Well, so the way that I've looked at it, too, is that there are some sports way more reliant on the crowds than others. You know what I mean? And I've thought about that. Like, is anybody really going to notice if there's no gallery at a golf match or, like, even to a lesser degree, right? Like, If there was no crowd at an NBA game, I'm actually with LeBron. Like, that would be so strange. Like, yes. The crowd is, like, such a massive part of it. The NFL is a weird spot for me there because you can tell when teams have a really, really good home field advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But then the rest, like, I don't really, outside of the Chargers last year, there isn't a team that has, like, a bad home field advantage. It's just teams that have great ones and then everybody else.
Yeah, because even the bad teams, like Cleveland, it's a bad team, but they have a great crowd that shows up at their home games.
Buffalo, too, like, same deal.
Sure.
It's a bunch of people that just love football.
Right.
So I do wonder where the NFL would fit on that, especially considering the fact that I don't really like going to NFL games anymore. I like watching so much more at home. I feel like the viewing experience has gotten so well refined, and I love going to the bathroom without waiting in a massive line. And
you have a nice television.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You get replays, everything that you need, right? I do wonder how that will impact. I feel like people would be more willing to accept football without fans than maybe like the NBA or some of these other sports. So I think that it's an interesting first step. The question is now, when does this happen? Like, is it something that's going to happen on time?
And you see, like tonight, the draft 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
They are moving forward as if nothing is happening.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Isn't it amazing? Like, the NFL, of course, is. Of course.
And they have the luxury of time right now.
They do, yeah.
They are really not impacted other than these practices that they would have right now with their young players, getting the vets back together for a week and some change and going from there. But they still have time. Baseball, ongoing right now. Major League, NBA and NHL. Playoffs right now.
Yep.
They are impacted. The NFL has the luxury of the time to wait and see what happens so they can have the draft when they want on schedule. They can have their release tonight on schedule because all you're doing right now is putting out dates and, again, garnering more interest. You always have the interest, but that had all that interest because you are the only thing in town right now, even though you are not on the field doing anything. But they have the luxury of time.
I'm telling you, these other leagues, the NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, they had better hope that for some reason they're able to get back underway and the NFL is delayed. Because if everything starts coming back at the same time, you're talking about a ratings decline unlike anything you've ever seen before. you're talking about NHL and NBA playoff games that'll be pulling like below fives because people will be watching the NFL.
That's crazy.
Playoff games!
I know.
It's crazy.
I know.
We'll have to set up some kind of like a triple screen situation where we can take it all in.
Without a doubt.
That's the only way to make that happen.
Without a doubt.
So let's look at the Eagles' opponents for 2020.
All right.
And obviously, you know, it's Cowboys, Giants, Washington. And home, you've got the Ravens, the Bengals, the Rams, the Saints, and the Seahawks. What do you think about the home slate?
All right, Ravens, Bengals,
Rams, Saints,
Rams,
Seahawks.
Saints and Seahawks.
So I have a problem.
Tough.
The last two, and I've always described the Seahawks as this, but the Saints are too. The Seahawks are the Eagles' final boss. Like, it doesn't matter where that game's played. I feel like the Eagles, they never beat Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints are the same way.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the Saints are also a final boss.
They came close, of course, in 2018 playoffs, but the drop happened with Alshon Jeffrey, and they cannot figure them out in terms of getting over the top and getting the W at the end of the game, but they cannot figure those guys out. Now, the Bengals, I'm not worried about.
Nope.
The Ravens, you know how much I like
tough
them
squad.
And what they did in the draft. That is a tough squad.
Rams can't win.
Even with Earl Thomas going through what Earl Thomas is going through right now, the Rams, no, they cannot win.
Rams can't win.
So you have that one. So I would say between, though, they're not going to lose all of those games.
No.
Even though we don't necessarily like the opponent, they are going to win a few of those games because they are going to be home. And if they are going to have the fans, they have a home field advantage.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, if they don't have fans, then what?
Well, right. That's the question. It's like, because the Eagles have had one of the best home field advantages right up there with the Ravens over the last several years. Does that go away without fans? Obviously. How much does that impact things on the field? We'll see. Here's the road.
Mm-hmm.
This is a strange, strange group of road teams. Cardinals, Browns, Packers, Steelers, Niners. You're all over the country. That's a little tough, man.
Packers tough. Anytime you go into Lambeau is tough.
That's not going to be
easy. It's not an easy game.
They've owned Pittsburgh on the road, though. Pittsburgh's usually pretty good at home.
Yep.
I still probably like them in the Pittsburgh game.
San Francisco at home, or in general, as you point out, for your money, best team in football.
I think they're the best team, yeah. So I like the 49ers at home, obviously. But if the Eagles beat them, that's a massive test. That's
a huge
test that you bet.
Arizona is improved.
Yes, they are.
So it's going to be. This is not going to be an easy thing.
No,
this is not going to be an easy thing.
This schedule's kind of hell. Like it's kind of like a brutal schedule.
Well, I had a call the other night, and called the other night said that two actually believe that they still are going to win the NFC East, even with the schedule, with the things that happened in the draft that they may disagree with. They still believe that they are the top team in the NFC East because the defense in Dallas, while the offense is improved with CeeDee Lamb, they are going to have issues improving their defense with all due respect to Diggs in place of Jones. They have issues on the defensive side of the football, according to a few of the callers, and that way they are still going to be able to win the division at the end of the season.
610-632-0975, 6 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them online at familyjewelers.com. The future schedule of opponents here for Dallas. I think that Dallas is in better shape because of who they have to play in the NFC South. I think for some reason that they missed the Saints because they played the same place finisher in the NFC South.
Okay.
So who was second place in the NFC South? Was that the Falcons? Oh, man.
Or Tampa.
If it's Tampa, that's no good for them. That works out well.
Yeah.
I got to go back and see what that was.
Yeah, but I'm in here.
You're in?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the Falcons, and Buccaneers tied at 7-9.
Right.
So I don't know how they're going to work that out.
Right.
That's kind of a big difference, though.
It is.
That's a way bigger difference.
It is.
You like Dallas at all this year?
I do. I do because I like their offense, and even though the defense may have their issues, look, we're still talking about some nice players on that defensive side of the ball, all right? They still have Lawrence. We know about their linebackers right there that they have. You do pick up Diggs, who's a rookie, and you might be able to target him a little bit, but he is still a good corner coming from a powerhouse in collegiate football, right? So he can play.
Dontari Poe and Gerald McCoy.
I mean,
they did all right.
They did okay.
Yeah, they did
okay.
Right.
So, yeah, I am a little concerned about Dallas because I still believe that they are going to be a tough out.
610-632-0975.
Right now, I think they have the advantage, to be perfectly honest with you. The Dallas Cowboys.
Does?
Yes.
Eagles are going to have to win some games that maybe they shouldn't. We're going to get to Alex next, and then it can be you. We do have wide open phone lines. Counting down until the schedule release at 8 o'clock. Joe Torti Show, Devon Gibbons, till 10 right here on The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back. Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Here with Devon Gibbons. We're hanging out until 10. Tyler Zulli producing. Ahead of the Eagles schedule release, the NFL schedule release, at 8 o'clock.
The rumor already? In Washington, week one.
In Washington, yes.
Week one.
Haskins. So what do you think?
Young.
What do you think of him? What do you think?
Played better at the end of the season once he got his feet underneath him. He played against the Eagles. We were a little scared that game.
Yeah. Well, so now people are talking about, because Ronald Darby's in Washington now, right? So people are remembering.
Watch he get it together out there. Watch. Well,
they're remembering DeSean Jackson toast him when DeSean Jackson was in Tampa.
Keep him away from him. That's what you do.
People were talking about that. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't worry about DeSean Jackson toasting Ronald Darby when I've still got Terry McLaurin. Like, he's still running as far as I'm concerned.
Running away from Sidney Jones
and everybody else. Yeah. So with any luck, this game will be like a Rams-Chiefs Monday night game where it's like 50-40 or something like that. That's the way to start off the regular season.
Right.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
Especially because the Washington football squad will not score 50 points.
Well, then you just put, yeah, exactly. Then you just put Jalen Reagor on the other side and let him run past Ronald Darby.
Yes, that'll be perfect. Yeah,
speed.
Speed right? Everywhere.
Not the combine speed.
No, the pro day speed.
Pro day and game tape speed.
That's exactly
like
right.
Game day. That's right.
Let's go to Alex in South Philly next on The Fanatic. What's going on, Alex?
What's going on? You know, this is the year two from when Donovan McNabb took a lot of heat 2 years ago when he said that if Carson Wentz does not get to at the very minimum an NFC championship game within the next 2 years, they need to draft a new quarterback. And obviously, they just drafted a new quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, this year, I hear a lot of talk about, you know, what the receiver situation is, and rightfully so. We don't know if Rieger is going to be the real deal. We obviously don't know if we can rely on Jashaun and Alshon. But if he's going to win you 9 or 10 games, then what's the point? What did you pay him all this money for? So you want to say it's not his fault. Okay, let's just say it's not his fault. Then what does that say about his overall impact? If he can't elevate or get you to 12 or 13 wins, then it's not his fault, but you're not worth the money. Because what? How much worse is Nick Foles going to do? If Carson Wentz, let's just say, doesn't win me 12 games this year or 13 games, if I had Nick Foles, how much worse is he going to do considering this guy is 24-6 in his last 30 games as an Eagle? So I completely agree with Donovan McNabb that at minimum he has to get to an NFC Championship game, because in a worst-case scenario, if I'm not winning playoff games with Wentz, I can't do any worse with Nick Foles, because worst-case scenario, I won't win playoff games with Nick Foles. I'm not winning anyway with Wentz, but at least I'm not, I don't have to pay him $130 million, and I can support him with a lot of players with the money I'm giving Wentz. And we all know that Foles is capable of taking the team to a Super Bowl. So this is an NFC Championship game or bust year at minimum for Wentz, because otherwise it makes no sense to get rid of Foles.
Well, I mean, except for the fact that, like, he also lost a quarterback competition to Gardner Minshew in Jacksonville.
But we all know it's a completely different system and a situation and a scheme. You don't go 24-6 by accident. You don't find anybody doing that by accident. Some of the greatest quarterbacks have never had that type of span. This isn't a 3 or 4 game span. I can completely agree that a guy can get hot for 2 or 3 games, but not over that many games. Well, that
Alex, I can't just look at what he did with the Eagles, because that, his first tenure was a long time. But no, it doesn't, Alex. What matters is what he's done recently. And what he's done recently is, by the way, in that great run, that amazing Super Bowl run, tried as hard as he could to lose to the Falcons, and Keanu Neal literally punted the ball back to Torrey Smith. So what are we talking about, man? We're not going to litigate this again, are we? Seriously?
Yeah.
Devon, there's no doubt that the Eagles need to win playoff games in order for Carson Wentz to be validated. There's no doubt about that. But that has nothing to do with Nick Foles.
No, and we cannot continue to bring up Nick Foles, because if you want to talk about injuries with Carson Wentz and him not being able to be healthy. Look, Nick Foles, and I don't like doing this because Nick Foles wasn't here. He may not have gotten hurt when he was here.
Who knows?
Right? We don't know. But we also don't know if Nick Foles would have won a 9 or 10 game schedule as a starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. We have no idea. And as far as the record goes with his entire career as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles, that was with Chip Kelly. That was way back when. They got to the playoffs. Yes, they did. But they didn't win that playoff game either. All right. And the same thing here. He had a great run in the postseason. A great run. He had a great run.
Yes.
That's what he had. He had a great run.
Agreed.
Much respect, always respected for the great run that he had.
And I hope he does great in Chicago.
I think he wins that job.
Well, it looks like it. He's the odds on favor. They didn't pick up Trubisky's option, right?
So, right. I think he wins that job. But he's better than Mitchell Trubisky. And I don't think he's better than Carson Wentz. And yes, we know the system in which he plays, and he's going to have some familiarity out there in Chicago, and that'll work out for him with Nagy and all, and all that's going on there. But I mean, with all due respect to Nick Foles, we don't know. We have no idea. Let's see if Carson Wentz can do this or not. And we'll evaluate it as we go along to see how much he can carry, how much weight he can put on his shoulders and hopefully carry the team or not. And then they have to make a decision. They just drafted somebody. You know they're going to try to justify it at some point, or maybe not, because the guy that they put out there to justify the $100 million contract actually goes out there, puts in the work, and gets it done.
Sure.
And leads his team.
And Devon, you know.
We don't even know if he might have beaten the Seattle Seahawks had he not gotten hurt.
Right, exactly.
He might have. It was the first quarter.
Got cheap shotted in the back of the head by someone that people want now in the city.
I do.
Of course.
I do.
He'd make you better.
Bring him in.
You know, I'm not Mr. Carson Wentz. I've never been like,
I know,
Mr. Carson Wentz. My problem is, if you're going to give the guy the contract, you can't already be pulling the ripcord. I drafted a quarterback in the second round. That's my problem is. Even if you thought that was the wrong decision, you've got to act like it was the right decision.
Yes.
Give him the weapons that he needs.
And that's the problem. You have to act as if it's the right decision. The same way they're going to have to act as if that was the right decision at 53.
Right.
To take Jalen Hurts.
That's crazy, man. That either undermines you now or before, whatever.
Mm.
Nick Foles, hope he does well. 6-6 in his last 12 starts. So, now it's including 0-4 last year.
And he'll win that job. I believe that.
He should. He's better than Mitchell Trubisky. He's terrible. That might be the Bears' worst draft pick of all time in a Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes draft.
Oh, my goodness.
That might be the worst draft pick ever.
That was terrible.
And they traded up to make
one spot they traded up and gave up all of that.
John Lynch is like, he's like crazy.
What? And we still get Solomon Town? Okay.
I'm good.
All right. Let's do that.
I'll sign up for that.
Let's do that. Yeah, let's do that.
Arnold in Virginia is next on the Fanatic. What's up, Arnold?
Come on.
How y'all doing, man? I'm sitting here listening to you guys, man.
Thank you.
I like everything Philly does.
Why?
We just got a ring. We just got a ring.
No, you didn't.
Think about this.
You got a ring 3 years ago now.
Okay. How many people repeat like that? And we got it on pure guys that's going in, doing their jobs or whatever. And we already know Philly is a two-quarterback team. So I love the Jalen Hurts pick. Think about this. If this season gets started, how many players going to go down? And then when their quarterbacks go down, some fluky Duke team going to get into that Super Bowl if they sitting there doing their – if their players sitting home doing what they're supposed to be doing, some fluky team going to get into that Super Bowl, man, and we're going to be looking at this thing. Because all they got to do is don't have no bleachers, bring everything short, do it like on the television, just like Arena League. I mean, I can't get why they're making this hard. You feel me? And Philly is a two-quarterback team.
No, there are no two-quarterback teams. I don't think that exists. There's not such a thing as a two-quarterback. Not in the NFL. I know Louisiana Lafayette had two on the field at one time and all that other kind of stuff. But,
I ain't talking about on the field at the same time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the simple fact that we get this guy right. Carson Wentz liable to get hurt. And that hit was a dirty hit. Just like that hit on the Rams game, and nobody never talked about it. Carson was already across the goal line with the football, and when that guy hit him in his leg, and no flag.
Yeah.
If you really look at the play, the ball had already broke the play. Well, no need for the guy to hit him in his legs like that.
Well, sure. So I guess that's what I'm saying, Arnold, right? If those are two dirty hits, then, you know, it's not necessarily that this guy's made of glass. It's that he got cheap-shotted twice, right?
I'm not saying this, but I'm saying the needle took and made that team strong, spiritual and everything. They was praying. I was following them that year. They was praying and doing baptism and everything. And then they got away from that. And that's when the gossip came in there. But this season going to be a real fluky dude season, man. And you best to have a good backup quarterback. I love the pick. Now, I think Philly was scared to get a wide receiver because of T.O. You know how we done had him. And Pinkerson and all them boys never work out. Or then you get one like, what was your boy in the Super Bowl with us? There was Hollywood, like, call his name right quick.
Torrey Smith, Alshon Jeffrey. Who are you talking about? You said Terrell Owens?
No, when we were Super Bowl.
You mean Freddie?
Freddie Mitchell?
Manab and them.
Freddie Mitchell.
He was Freddie Mitchell, yeah. And Philly was probably scared of him. But I'm going to tell you one thing.
I don't think that's going to stop them from making a draft selection with Freddie Mitchell, Ty Pinkston, or even Terrell Owens. It's about now. And that's why when people bring up again, you just won a Super Bowl. No, you didn't.
That was
just
a long
won
time
a Super
ago
Bowl.
Now.
That was a while ago now, where you have two champions since then, and you are not one of them. Yes, you are on the list of the last three, but no, that no longer counts for me.
No.
Doug Peterson told us this is the new norm.
Well, they're not losing in NFC championship games either. Like, that's my thing. Like, I'm not saying you got to win every year. You got to be in the conversation.
But McNabb's teams with Westbrook and Dawkins and everybody on, they got there every year. They didn't win. We were frustrated, right? But we were frustrated because they were on the doorstep. This is not a doorstep right now. We don't know. Don't know.
610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Once again, the 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. Gerald, John, we're going to get to you guys next. Schedule drop approaches at 8 o'clock.
And 5 title games in 8 years.
Oh, yeah.
That's something.
That's something.
That's something.
That's
not
what
this.
A norm looks like.
Yes.
Stevon Givens and Joe Torti till 10 o'clock on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.